Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, June 3rd, 2013. Wow, we're already into June. Have some special guests in the studio, some new friends, Samrat and Kamala. They're from India, missionaries, along with an old friend, Bob Dickey, and lovely Gloria. Bob's wife is upstairs bird watching, and I think reading. But first, before I read some special scripture, the Preparedness Expo was a huge success. It was so nice to see so many of our Great News Radio listeners show up for that. And if you were tuned in last Wednesday, you heard Mark Thompson's testimony and his passion for helping people prepare for any kind of widespread emergency, whether it's a blizzard, a power outage, or some type of tragedy, how to best be prepared and come together and minister in Jesus' name. You can still find out more at cepn.us. That's cepn.us. If you check out my Facebook page, you'll see some adorable photos of little Molly Schiffo, who had her Fullinger Auditorium ballet debut. What a cutie. And we just love that Schiffo family. Great outing with the bear chair yesterday as we inspected the Texas Roadhouse once again, one of our favorite restaurants, and we always say we have to inspect their food to make sure it's properly prepared and healthy for all the rest of you. And I mention that because the Texas Roadhouse, in one of the coming Thursdays, is going to supply some special treats for our Merged Gospel Series. Now, we're not meeting this Thursday. It's the second and fourth Thursday of every month, so we'll be meeting on the 13th.
Reading from Psalm 128. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Oh, listening friend, welcome to today's edition of Mark and Friends. We have a reason for reading this special psalm. It's a favorite of Samrat's, and I'm having Bob Dickey, a local friend, part of the Singing Men of GNN for many years, lives in Gibson City, attends Gibson City Bible Church, married to lovely Gloria, has been a friend for a long time, involved in many activities with this radio ministry. You and Gloria have supported us for a long time. And recently, you said, Mark, you got to meet this couple that I know that I've served with in India, and you have to have them on the air because they have some God-honoring stories. And in fact, I think you even said he's kind of like a current-day Apostle Paul. So introduce our special guest today and tell us how the Lord has used them in your life.
Thank you, Mark, and it's a privilege to be here with you. About 3.5 years ago, I had the privilege with a missions trip with our local church, Gibson City Bible Church, to go over to India, to Ongole, India, which is on the far east side of India, and have the opportunity to witness what God is doing in that area of the world. And I had the privilege of meeting Samrat and Kamala Kodavatakante. And as a result of that, we got to see what the Lord is doing. And it's right out of James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27, when it talks about taking care of the orphans, taking care of the widows and the prisoners. And that's many of the things they do and many things more. But we had the opportunity to actually interact with the orphans. We actually sat down with the lepers. And we actually sat down with the pastors that they're training. It's just an awesome, awesome ministry. And it just absolutely reminded me of the trip, Mark, we got to take when we went to Israel and stand and walk where Jesus walked and saw what he did. But it was just that type of a epiphany of an experience. And I'll never be the same as a result of it.
And I know upon your return, we had you do a morning program. I didn't get a chance to look up what the date was, but it was very God-honoring. And it was a transformational work he did in your life, where you literally served and witnessed things that you had read about and heard about India. But it forever changed you, didn't it?
Absolutely. This brother right here on my right, as you already said, I mean, I look to him as a modern-day Paul. He's so focused in his ministry. He had his love for his people, for those that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who have never heard of him, of the Lord and Savior, that they don't know who Jesus is, who are without hope, without all the things that we take for granted here in America. He is there bringing that hope to them. and his wife, Kamala. Sweet, sweet spirit. Very big part of the ministry. And what she does on a daily basis is so encouraging, both to those around her as well as to Samrat.
Now, Samrat, you chose Psalm 128 as a special verse, a special passage in your life. And I noticed in here it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. And I had the blessing to have lunch with you recently and hear a little of your love story. And our listeners love hearing a love story. So before we ask you a little about the Psalm 128, but I did take notice, your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Tell us about your wife and how you met and the things you love about her.
I'm so glad to be here in this great news radio studio, and it's a great privilege for me that God has given to share, to witness what the work in India, we're doing it. Apart from that, as you asked the question, good question, that how I met my sweet wife here. In year 1991, I happened to meet my beloved wife, Kamala, who is sitting next to me in a prayer meeting. That happened, the first look, the first sight, I looked at her, touched my heart. So that made me to marry her. So this is a divine appointment, a divine thing that God has put in my life. So as the word said, she's a vine, you know. So that means sweet fragrance comes out of that vine. I've been experiencing that thing with my wife for the last 18 years.
Now, didn't it also work out where I think your uncle was a neighbor of hers or something, or mm-hmm. your nephew, or wasn't there a family member that lived nearby, so that made it convenient for you to visit every so often?
Absolutely. Actually, you're right. After I met her at a prayer meeting, and I was not knowing where she lives, actually. It's on a prayer meeting we met, because prayer meeting in India, there are several crusades happening once in a month. So we used to go for prayer meetings, you know. That's where people get changed, you know, touched with the spirit. They're getting off their healings. So after that, I don't know where she lives, but one fine morning I went to visit my nephew, which is 2 miles away from my home. There I saw that young, beautiful lady standing right at the door.
And she's beaming right now. You're winning husbandry 101 points. I'll let you know that. That's good comment. She's beaming.
Yeah, she's so beautiful, and she's a wonderful wife to me. So when I looked at her there, and I recollected, yeah, she's the one I looked at, you know, a month ago. So then I started, you know, going to her, and every day I have an appointment to go to my uncle's house to meet my nephew. Not that I'm really going to meet my nephew, though he's my friend, but to want to see my wife. Yes. I mean, like a Kamala there.
Sure. And I think you had just completed Bible college at that point.
Uh-huh.
So you were kind of like, Lord, I want to be in an effective ministry, and if you bring along a helpmeet or somebody, a companion to assist me in this endeavor, was that something that you were praying up at that time?
Absolutely. I was not knowing, after finishing my Bible college, I came back to home, and I'm helping my father in the ministry. So maybe it's the plan of God, you know. It's not alone to be a man. It's not good for alone to be a man. So right after that, it happened in my life. I met Kamala. It's a really amazing thing, a wonderful thing happened in my life.
Now, I know as oftentimes God does, he brings opposites together. And so you seem to be a very vocal, outgoing, one that likes to talk and share. And in my few little moments with Kamala, you're kind of quiet and seemingly reserved, but maybe a prayer warrior or behind-the-scenes person. And I know this isn't something maybe you're used to doing or liking to do a lot, but could you share a little of what that first few times of meeting up with Samrat was like and why you were attracted to him?
Yeah. First time we go into church, Samrat playing drums.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him. Yeah, he looked very nice, you know, handsome that time. Yeah. Next time I saw in my home, his cousin's home.
And you started just knowing that he was a special man of God at the time, because you were a believer, a follower of Jesus at this point, right? Uh-huh. Were you praying about maybe finding someone to do the Lord's work with?
Yeah.
And how did you kind of start to know that he was the one?
His family, Christian family, and his father, pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Good family, good ministry they have. The time, I believe, this is God's plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like that.
And we're going to have you back in just a minute to maybe sing a song, but I want to ask Samrat, because those of our listeners unfamiliar with the customs in India, and I'm hoping over the next 2 days we're going to learn a lot about India, because I'd asked you for our program, what would you want to achieve? And you said, not only knowing our listeners, but helping them know the needs in India and the unique ways God is working and using your ministry and the transformational impact he's having through the various things you do in the prisons, for the orphans, for the communities, for the families. But in India, many times marriages are arranged, and that's really a foreign concept, though our parents or in-laws might be involved and make recommendations or pull out yellow or red flags or saying, boy, I don't know. In India, the practice is usually the families come together and orchestrate that, but you kind of bucked the system. You took a different route. Tell us about that.
Yes, a good question. Indian marriages are really arranged marriages. They're not like in America. I've been watching, you know, love marriages, their datings and all. In India, it's absolutely is a different culture. Our marriages are decided by our elders or our parents. So that is the custom and the culture in India. But as me and Kamala met together, and I want to tell you one thing, brother, that though we are Christians, okay, but we are from different caste. She goes to another church. I used to go to our own church. There are several churches at my place, but we're from a different caste. She is from a caste called Mala, and I am caste called Madhiga. These are the lowest caste in India, especially Ongol, Andhra Pradesh. I don't know how this caste system is so strong, you know. In Christianity, in Christians' community also, this caste system is so strong, and it makes a division. It makes very division apart. So I don't know what witness the Christians giving to the Gentile people, the Hindu people, actually. So we were thinking we're no more getting married, because we were not knowing till we brought out that me and Kamala are going to get married. She told to our parents, I told to my parents. And they asked me, which caste she's from? I said, she's what caste? Yeah, what caste she's from? They asked me. It surprised me. I was not really knowing about the caste. I'm thinking that I'm a Christian, that's it. So then I came to know, and I asked Kamala, she was also not knowing that, where she's from, I mean, which caste she belongs. But anyway, we came to know that I'm caste called Madhiga, she's from Mala. So this made a lot of disturb. Then my father is a pastor for 20 years, and he called Kamala's elders, like uncles, aunties, and my said uncle, aunties, and he made a get-together. And he started asking all the relatives of Kamala and my relatives, what is caste? Can you show a verse from the Bible saying about caste? Nobody gave any answer.
Yeah, and I think it's important to make the distinction or to share this with our listeners, because even though you can be a follower of Jesus or call yourself a Christian, sometimes maybe God hasn't worked out all those things in your life. You can have such strong prejudice or some background issues that really he wants to resolve or shed light on or bring healing to. And here you're two people in love, and society is saying, nope, you're in different castes. So maybe share a little about that caste system in India. I mean, many of us have heard about the untouchables and know that there are different castes. And it's just really, it's the society is saying that this caste can't marry into this caste. And these people are untouchables. They're not worthy to be anything but servants. How, as a Christian, are you helping? And your dad obviously helped bring your two families together.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Well, Then my dad asked about, he asked all the questions to our relations. They never, no one gave any good answer for that one. Just, they are just very angry and anguished that is bringing out all this point, because there is no answer for my dad's question from that side to eradicate this caste system. So my dad, really, then he preached the gospel for 10 minutes. Then everybody agreed. And now it's made a lot of impact on the other people. You know, we lost so many of our family members, and my friends also just marrying, you know, the lady from other caste. And she also lost so many family members from our side until we had our first son, Holy Prince. So then people came to see my son. So then we got, again, we, you know, went into the relations again. We all together now. So in India, I want to tell this, as you asked the question, India, there are several castes. To tell you, there are 1,500 castes in India.
Oh, I thought there's just like a dozen or so. There's over 1,000 different castes?
Yes. So this caste system makes distinguish, really, you know, separation. Class and caste in Indian community, you know, they scheduled, socialized, they scheduled and secluded as a caste. These people, what I'm talking about, untouchables. Very recently, God gave the vision to go to these people to preach the good news. These people are, maybe they are not looking as fair as we look. They don't have a decent life, no education, no good food, no good manner of life. That maybe, you know, people push them back. You are untouchables just because they're, you know, the way of living is not good. But, you know, in the sight of God, it's absolutely wrong. You know, God sat with the sinners. He had a friendship with the, you know, sinners. And he made a good relation with them. God, we are all, you know, God's children. It makes any difference. We see the love, how God loved us. The same divine love we should show to these people.
Well, I wanted today's program to focus on some of your personal life, some of the background, because I know we can do a whole program on all that God is doing through India Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship, also known as IERF. And I think tomorrow's program will spend the preponderance on what God is doing and how he's bringing healing and hope to the orphans, to those in prisons. I think you've started over 135 churches throughout India. You're involved in training pastors and equipping them to be serving. You're working with chaplains, and so you have a lot going on, and I want our listeners to make sure they tune in tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. But in our closing couple minutes, just give us maybe a snapshot into India. You know, we kind of know it's over there in the Far East, but tell us about your country and some of the needs that people can be praying for. But give us kind of a little snapshot into what India's like.
Well, India has India holds 5,000 history, and the population of India is 1.2 billion people. Most of the people are Hindus because it's a Hindu country. The Indians worship 333 million gods, and 6,000 villages are still never known the gospel. Half of the Indians never known the name of Jesus Christ. 55,000 people every day dying, eternally separated from Jesus Christ.
Did you say 300,000 gods? How many gods?
33 million gods. 333.
I guess I can't even get my mind around that. I could see a dozen gods, a couple thousand gods, but what does that look like? How could they even measure that? Is everything a god?
Yes, you're right, brother. They believe in everything. I think you know about they believe in karma. Mm-hmm. They believe in reincarnation. And also, they believe in everything. If they see anything, they worship it as a god. They go after God. They go after. They never find a true God. Because Indians are very good devotees. Mm. Very good devotees. They always want to search. They're in search of God. Search of truth. But they never find true God unless they come out from this idol worship, believing everything is God.
Hmm. Now, Bob, I'm going to have you close out with a last thought for our listeners, why they should tune in tomorrow and the impact that India Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship has had on your life and the importance of supporting these two beloved followers of the Lord Jesus Christ.
What was amazing to me, Mark, when I was over there and I saw the faces of people who do not have anything. You know, we think the Lord loves us because he's blessed us with all kinds of things. They don't have any of the things we have over here. They're without a family. They're without every necessity that we think we have to have here, and yet they have the peace and the love of God and the biggest smiles on their faces. Mm. But I'm talking about those who know Jesus, those who have received him as their own personal Savior. And what happened, basically, after we saw what they were doing, what true ministry really is about, it just opened my eyes to understand that there is such a potential to reach more for the that are lost in India, because there's already people like Samrat and Kamala over there doing the ministry, things that we could never do if we went over there, because they're one of them. They understand the culture. They understand all these things we would never learn. Yet it takes very little money to support them, in the sense of what can be accomplished over there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, just real quick, this is sort of an example. We sat down at a Pizza Hut, seven of us one night, had a full three-course meal at a Pizza Hut, three pitchers of Pepsi, three large pizzas, dessert, and appetizers, and it cost $23, including the tip. Mm. Now, that tells you, that would never happen with a couple here in America, yeah. But that's how our monies that we can send to India, that's how far they can go to serving our Lord and Savior.
Well, listener, the website to find out more information and to support the great work that's going on, and tune in tomorrow and you can hear some very specific ways, but IERFindia.org, and obviously www, but IERFindia.org. You can find out more and be sure to tune in for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. We'll get into some of the unique ways that God is using India Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship, IERF, to touch lives in and throughout India. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.